The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, I mean, kind of. It's actually Lance Zierlein, Dell. Are we allowed to say your last name, or is it? Or do you like to keep it off because for radio purposes?
No, I'm proud of my Nigerian heritage. Okay. Olay.
Dell Gbajabiamia.
No, I'm not a defensive end who came from San Diego State and played for the Packers. Okay. Olay.
Or you're not a guy who now hosts the Ninja Warrior show.
Which one is that? Which?
That's Akbar.
The less talented of the two?
Akbar is famous for being very chatty at NFL Network. He shows up. My kids know Akbar way before they know Teddy KGB. My kids know every American Ninja and potential American Ninja qualifier that's ever been. They watch so much American Ninja. They're like, "Oh, Drew Dreschel's my favorite. Who's your favorite?" They know all the ninjas. They've watched reruns. Like, this is the run wherever he takes over the lead in this course in Milwaukee qualifier.
Has one of your kids ever uttered the phrase, "That's my ninja"?
You know, probably because they do have favorites. They do have favorites. Let me ask you, where are we headed as a society when my kids know all the American ninjas? They do, and Dell, you're of course very, I don't know if John's aware of this, you're very aware of how much money these YouTubers are making by playing Minecraft and letting other kids watch them play while they have a video screen of their face, and they say dumb, basically they're saying like what amounts to a kid's version of dad jokes on
there. Let me be John here. What? Stupid. That's the initial reaction from John. What? It's video games. Who cares about video games?
Who's doing this? Who's doing this?
No, a lot of people, John, seriously. No, 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 John. there's actual evidence that guys are making money. I don't believe it.
All right, John. Okay.
No, no. A lot of them are making a million plus. The kicker, the punter from, what was it, Central Florida? Or South Florida, who quit because he wasn't just a punter. I think he was a field goal kicker.
Yeah,
he was making different videos. He had a video cast and doing fun. I think it was like Vine videos, but obviously not Vine anymore. But whatever it was, I guess it was YouTube. And he said, and the NCAA said, "Whoa, you're making money off this because you know if you have enough viewers, you get revenue. A revenue stream will come in because they put advertisements on it." He was making money, and NCAA said, "Well, we're going to have to take away your scholarship if you don't shut it down. You need to shut your account down." He said, "Nah, fam, I'll just shut down my scholarship and keep doing this because this gets me paid." And he shut down his college football scholarship and just went to straight YouTube videos. It's unbelievable. It's the e-gaming society. You can say whatever you want. If you come after e-gaming, if you say anything on Twitter about how like this is stupid, oh, get ready for the Dothraki wrath of Twitter to descend upon you and go to work.
Yeah, you don't want to meet e-game Twitter in an open field like the Dothraki. They will eat you alive. You don't want them on the open field that is Twitter. You want them in a confined space, maybe.
Like you want them actually in an open field where they're not very powerful.
If you actually want it,
you don't want Gamergate. You don't want them sending SWAT teams to your house. That's an actual thing they do. It's called swatting, where they will send a SWAT team. They will basically get your address and trick SWAT teams into coming and attacking your home, basically.
They will inform a SWAT team in your local area that maybe you have a bomb or you're holding someone hostage.
Yep.
And they will let come what comes to you, really. Hey, see what happens. Let's see what happens here.
Yeah, no problem. All right, so that's the intro to the show today.
Are we going to explain that John's not why John's not
here? Well, John is sick.
Yeah, because apparently he and his wife have more discretion than the Texans training staff. Hey, John, stay home. No. Just stay home, John.
What's your problem with the training staff?
I don't know. A guy's twitching out on the field.
That
was bad.
Really bad. So here's the deal. You probably know the Houston Texans got beat 26-16 at home versus what had been a two-win San Francisco 49er team. Now they're a three-win team. Texans fall to 4-9. They're 1-6 in their last seven. One of the stories of the game, and one of them that's going to get big nationally, is Tom Savage. Tom Savage was hit on a play and driven into the ground. I mean, it just looked like a, you know, to me it looked like a regular. It's not like some crunching blow. I mean, I'm sure it felt like it if you're Tom Savage, but just to the television eye, it looked like a, you know, a hit and tackle down to the ground. Savage turned to the left, and his hands were in front of his face, and they were shaking, and you could see a look on his face, almost like a panic, anguish look. I don't know. And it was not good. Savage went to the sideline. He went into the magical tent. I just see Dell pointing at me. I don't know. What's going on, Dell? What do we have going on?
Jose's in here trolling me, that's all.
Oh, okay.
That's all.
We have, yeah, Jose, we got it. No, I got him. He's co-hosting with me right now until Bun B is going to come in, and it's starting in the second segment. But, yeah, that's the thing is Tom Savage goes to the magical concussion tent. They check him out, and he gets back on the field. And he's coughing, and was he actually coughing up blood? That's what people were saying on the broadcast. I don't know if he was. This isn't Doc Holliday. I don't know that he was coughing up blood.
Think he had tuberculosis from a hit?
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's not my Huckleberry. So Tom Savage ends up getting pulled off the field. And now there will be, now that everything's clear, that they're going to talk about the Jacksonville-Seattle fight. They're going to talk about Carson Wentz. Oh, yeah, he's out for the year with an ACL tear, it looks like. But at some point today, a big national story is going to be the Texans not getting Tom Savage out of the game. Get ready for that. And Dell, as you noted before the show, this is just another in a long string of non-football related Texan stuff that almost takes away from how bad the product is on the field.
You think about it, outside of that 5-game or 6-game stretch where Deshaun Watson was a story, you know, the best offense in football, you had the Warden. You've had Dwayne Brown, and now and Tom Savage has been a storyline throughout the year about why he even started playing, why he's playing now, and now this. The Texans, they're not a factory of sadness like the Browns, but they provided far more entertainment for what they've done off the field and decisions being made than actually anything they've actually, in terms of playing football. It's just been a disaster all year long.
Well, you know, these guys get paid too. I know that there's injuries, but every one of those guys is getting paid to do their jobs, and a lot of them are doing their jobs. Kevin Johnson has not done his job this year when he's been on the field. Xavier Suofilo is not doing his job. Nick Martin got whipped on that 4th-and-1. Earl Mitchell whipped him with just a little arm over and sidestepped him, arm over, boom, 4th-and-1, went down. Clowney keeps playing hard, which is nice. He was not happy after the game either. We're going to hear from Jadeveon Clowney. Why would you be happy? Here's what the Texans have done. With Deshaun Watson, they were 3-3, 34.7 points a game, 394.8 yards per game. And, of course, that was after that first game disaster against Jacksonville. The numbers were much higher after that. Yards per play, 6. Here's what the Texans have done since Deshaun Watson went out. They're 1-6 with their only win against the Arizona Cardinals here at home. They're averaging 14.9 points per game. Let me reiterate, with Deshaun, 34-7. Without Deshaun, almost 20 points less per game. Yards per game, almost 100 yards less per game. They're at 90 yards less per game. And if you just say, well, that doesn't sound that crazy, well, it's 25% less. I mean, you're 25% less yards. That's kind of a big deal. Yards per play went from 6 to 4.5. Passing yards per game from 249 to 215. This is a bad, bad season. The Texans right now are playing to basically improve their third-round positioning of their draft pick.
The season's been so bad, and then you kind of forget about what they did in the offseason in terms of the trades, and then you realize, oh, yeah, you got a bad season.
How often does that happen, Dell, where you hear people on sports talk shows, and I'm talking about hosts, writers, fans, callers, Twitter, where they forget that the Texans don't have a first or second round pick. And don't get salty about not having a first or second round pick, because the city of Houston rejoiced when they gave away a second round pick to get rid of Brock. You know, in hindsight, you could have cut Brock, sucked down that money, and not worried about it because you didn't get Tony Romo. And that money you were hoping was going to get you Tony Romo, you didn't get it. Now, it didn't come out of Bob McNair's pocket, so I'm sure the Texans to this day have no problem with it. But then you had to trade up to get Deshaun. I'm thankful they did. but they don't have a first and second now. So
the Deshaun thing is great, and I won't argue with it. But when it comes to what early May, whenever the draft is now,
it's going
to
sting.
It's going to suck.
It's going to really sting. And you can't say it though, Dell. You can't say, "Oh, this sucks." You know, Deshaun. All you can do is, "This sucks." You don't have the second round pick for Brock. It almost feels like, how are you going to say you don't? Now, here's how you do it. If you turn your argument and say, he's got two ACL injuries, we don't even know if he's ever going to be fully healthy. And if he's not fully healthy, you ended up giving, you know, that's...
Do you still work for 610? Because that's going to happen over there.
That's the narrative. You think that'll happen?
Someone, Matt Hammond, will do that.
Go after him?
No. When the draft rolls around and we're trying to develop stories for the draft because we need something to talk about, well, we don't even know if Deshaun will come back.
Oh, it'll be storyline radio. Yeah. Storyline 610.
We're going to need storyline radio.
Storyline 610.
Because you can't talk about the first two rounds, so we're going to have to start pumping out stuff. Well, I know you guys are all thrilled because Deshaun's still here, but you never know. He's had two ACLs. Will he be healthy?
Man. Hold up, man. The first segment before Bun even gets in, I'm pretty sure this is the Larry. Let's just give him a couple minutes and let it breathe. Go ahead, Larry. What's going on, Larry?
Hey.
Not the same Larry.
Can you hear me? Yeah, it's great listening to the Lance Zierlein show featuring John Granato.
It's only featuring Dell, and it will soon be featuring Bun B.
Okay. Before my comment about Rick Smith, real quick, I've been wanting to ask you this for months. How did you get tickets for Hamilton? Did you know somebody?
I knew somebody. The guy I knew was called the Internet. And it was called an enormous amount of money so I could see the original cast because I basically needed to suck up to my wife because I'd made her a football widow for about 5 months. And so I ended up getting tickets to Hamilton, and we went and saw Hamilton in New York with the original cast. Larry, trust me when I tell you this, it cost a tremendous – it was like going to a national championship game. That's what it was like.
Yeah, because I know when it comes here, I think in March or May – you have to buy the entire season subscription. You can't buy tickets just for that one show.
That's correct. And when you do buy tickets to that show, which you can do through, through secondary markets, StubHubs or whatever, it's going to be costly. I think there'll be 500 plus a ticket. Okay. That's my guess.
Okay. Yeah. My comments as far as the Texans go, a lot of Texans apologists are saying, well, you know, you have Deshaun Watson out, so when he comes back next year, the Texans will be a Super Bowl contender. And you'd like to look at it realistically. The Texans, when Watson was starting, they were 3-3.
Yep.
Their defense was terrible.
Okay, 3-3 with two late losses that they basically gave away with terrible defense in 1 minute spurts against Seattle in Seattle and New England in New England. So. Yeah, it's 3-3, but let's just be real about this. They average 20 more points per game, Larry, and with Deshaun, and they had really wins that should have happened against New England and Seattle. I mean, they had to really screw the pooch. They had to try hard to lose those games, and they did. So if the argument is, yeah, with Deshaun, but they're still a bad team, I'm not sitting here telling you they're a good team, but let's not act like they were really 3-3. They outplayed all but one of those teams during that stretch, and that was the Jacksonville Jaguars. They outplayed five other teams. They just, they got their asses handed to them by Jacksonville Jaguars. And Jaguars hand people asses. Last I checked, they're pretty good. We gave them one of our best players. The Texans just said, listen, we know we have money for A.J. Bouye. We want you guys to have him. We're fine over here with 39-year-old J. Joe and we're fine with Kareem. Kevin Johnson's good. We're good.
What's that you say? AJ has 6 picks this year? Nah. Didn't need that. Didn't need a guy who stayed on the field and had production. No. We like Kevin Johnson.
No, we're good here with this Kevin Johnson. There's nothing to see here. Marcus Williams is exactly what we're looking for.
I'm a huge fan of the other Marcus, Gilchrist.
Another one. Safety's a need. Corner's a need. Offensive line is a need. And you start drafting in the third, but at least you should have three picks.
Don't forget about wide receiver, Lance.
Wide receiver looks like it might be. Yeah, you're right. All right, we're going to break it right here. When we come back, the legendary Bun B will join us here in studio. It'll be me, Dell, and Bun. We hope you'll join us at 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5.
Nights come from long days, doing all the right things in the wrong ways, doing all the wrong for the right reason, sprinkling midnight game, call it night.
This
season.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
717 here on 97.5 ESPN. The Bench. John Granato is out sick. Dell's in the other room with me. And joining me right now is the Trillist, is Bun B. Bun, how do you feel about having the word trill seemingly stolen from you and put on T-shirts and hats like almost 24-7, it seems like? I don't want to, every time I see one, snitch to you, like, Bun, guess what I just saw?
No,
because you probably get that already.
Yeah, it gets aggravating at times, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't mind people using the term or whatever, or if they want to make themselves a shirt, but just openly trying to capitalize off something that isn't yours to capitalize off gets crazy. I mean, look at how they did YOLO for Drake.
Yeah. Is yours copyrighted?
Yeah.
It is. So yeah. It's protected.
Yeah, but it's still hard to find every single person and try. It costs more to sue every. She wants to, like, my wife wants to sue everybody.
Right.
But you'll end up spending more money on some of them. Now, larger entities, yeah, it makes sense to get money.
Right.
But sometimes you'll end up spending more money fighting. But for her, she just wants to fight the fight.
Well, like all the pop-ups, all the Astros pop-up stuff, I'm like, yeah. There's no way this is all licensed. No way. And they're using Houston Astros and Astros logo. And I'm like, there's no chance people making big money off of those. I mean, I don't know how some of them stayed open so long, because that one that was at the old abandoned HEB at Fountain View Westheimer.
Yeah.
I'm like, first of all, there's no way. They've got the jerseys for players, and on the back it just says Houston. I'm like, okay, that clearly. Now you can, I guess you can sell those though.
Yeah,
as long as it doesn't say
there's
Astros.
Ways around. People would find different ways around that kind of stuff. And like I said, the Astros knows it's going on, but for them, it's probably a bigger headache to go out and try to tackle a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, it really is. It's not like they're not selling their own stuff.
But I mean, it's hard to not be able to. I mean, because you can kind of sit there and count the dollars sometimes.
It gets aggravating. Let's get to what's going on in Houston sports. We've got some really good stuff. We've got Astros have won their title, and it's, I mean, we're not that far away from pitchers and catchers reporting them back in spring, and this is going to be the excitement heading into this season is going to be, it's going to feel like 1994-95, the first year after the Rockets won their championship against the Knicks. That's what it's going to feel like heading into the season. You've got the Rockets right now, who have won 9 in a row, going for 10 tonight against the Pelicans.
What did he hit, like 48 last night? 48?
James?
Yeah.
Yeah.
48 points.
Yeah, James is averaging over 30, first Rocket since Moses Malone. Right now, he's the clear-cut leader for MVP. You got a guy in Chris Paul who is a true alpha, who gives you leadership, who gives you – they are fearless on the court, a secondary ball handler, a primary ball handler – and a guy who can get you baskets and get other guys' baskets when James is off the court. You got a lot of great stuff. Over the weekend, Sam Amick from USA Today had an article, and this has kind of been known behind the scenes that this is the Rockets' plan, but this is the first time it's kind of come out in the media that LeBron James is in their plans. They consider this year to be their opportunity to shine and say, LeBron, when you're a free agent, and Daryl Morey, nobody is better at finding money and finding creative ways to create money than Daryl Morey. Nobody. I've never seen anybody who can. I didn't think it was possible to get Chris Paul without gutting your team, and they've got a deeper roster this year than last year. And apparently in this article I read, they can get LeBron $35.5 million, $33.5 million. They can get him to max. They could make that happen. Daryl has already set it up because they want to have a shot at LeBron. So apparently in the books, they've got the opportunity to offer LeBron James. And if you are winning, I get the feeling, Bun, that LeBron is chasing Jordan from a ring standpoint. He wants that ring argument to be null and void in the argument of who's the greatest of all time.
Right.
And the best way to do that is get with a team that can win multiple years. And that's why he's long been rumored with the Lakers. And I know Maverick Carter and his group is out there, but why not Houston?
Well, I think for one, from LeBron's standpoint, I feel like he wants more say in building the team that he wins the championship with. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing that kind of makes LA a little more attractive than Houston because our stars are set, and he would actually have to share the stage here with James.
Right.
You know, I'm happy with this team right now. I am too. I think the Chris Paul influence we won't really see until the later end of the second half of the season and into the playoffs. I think that's where we're going to see the real influence that Chris Paul has on this team in the locker room, keeping guys motivated, keeping guys, you know, hey, look, keep it up. We got 15 more minutes a game to play. We got 10 more minutes of game to play. We got 5 minutes. We got to play every second on this court. That's Chris's mentality. So where this team can kind of get in those later games, in those later rounds, a little lackadaisical and maybe a little more mentally beat up than some of these guys are. That's where Chris is going to make the difference for this team.
He gives them more dog.
Absolutely.
You got to have dog.
You can't be on the court at the same time with him wearing the same jersey and not be a dog.
No.
It doesn't work.
And that's why, you know, to me, that's why Draymond is he's the heart of Golden State. For all the talent and the shooters and all that stuff, Draymond gave them something they didn't have, which was some dog. And Andre Iguodala, frankly. He gives them dog, and you got to have that dog. And I think Chris Paul gives you that too. And I agree with you. The regular season, we've seen it already. The regular season and the postseason, they're two different seasons for the Rockets.
Absolutely.
We know what the Rockets can do in a regular season.
They've done it season after season.
Mike D'Antoni has done it. We have to see Mike D'Antoni and this Rocket team do that next thing, you know, and finish. San Antonio, they had San Antonio in the fourth quarter last year in Game 5, and they let it slip out of their hands. And Game 6, disaster. We know it was a disaster in Houston. And that was without Kawhi Leonard playing for the Spurs.
But it's much more mental for us here, I think, than it is
in
San Antonio. I think it's more mental than anything.
Well, they have dog across the board. Their head coach is a dog.
I was just going to say, they're coached by a dog. So you can't even get on his court, right?
They are coached by a dog.
They are coached by. So it's an absolute different approach, right? And we need a player to do what their coach has always done. Mm-hmm. We need someone to do it. I think Chris is that guy. Chris is as much a player coach as anything.
You know, we had Lance McCullers in here on Friday, and he talked about the importance of he said whenever Carlos Beltran walked through the locker room, you put yourself in check because he said less so with Brian McCann. I thought it was going to be Brian McCann who came from the Yankees, and he looks like a dad. You know, he looks like Dad McCann. He just looks like a guy who's going to, you know, dress you down for wearing your pants too low or whatever. But he said it's really Beltran. When he comes in, you just check yourself because there's a level and an air of
it's just gravitas.
Regalness. Yeah.
It's gravitas.
It really is.
That's what it is. We kind of do that when, I guess, with Scarface.
It's not a bad
around.
Thing, by the way.
No. Thing. It's a thing that, you know, reminds you that in order to be great, you can't always be this loose as we can sometimes be.
Yeah.
Right. You got to take things seriously.
It's like that with Face.
Yeah, it can be like that. Face kind of, he's a lot more accessible. You know, we're older now, but it used to be like that with Face.
You know, I ran into him. I was coming back from doing some TV stuff last April at NFL Network, and I had a flight back on Sunday. And I just saw a guy who was on a phone, and he had just an earbud in. He was in front of me, and you know, we were going to get on a plane. He was in front of me. And I look on the screen, he's calling. And it's FaceTime. And I look on the screen, I'm like, that's DJ Khaled. who the hell is this talking to DJ Khaled on FaceTime? And sure enough, it was Face. And so
for
we
those
talked.
That don't know we're talking about
Scarface. Yeah.
The
and
rapper,
so,
not the
so
movie.
Brad also is. Brad you Jordan. Listened early, yeah, to early Ghetto Boys. So anyway, we talked a little bit. He's a big football guy, big little
well,
league football.
Coaches.
Yeah,
he coaches.
Big coach. I didn't know that. And he's
for years.
This is the
years.
First time that his kids are up on the college level, like at Texas A&M. He was telling me about some of his players, but so that's interesting. I didn't know that about him. But
that's
he's really
big,
into it.
Yeah, you know, that's been a big part of the latter years of him. He doesn't record as extensively as he used to. He's about to put a new album out at the top of the year, but. No, a lot of his free time is devoted to golf and coaching.
Do you think that the Texans? I don't think dog is a problem with the Texans. I think they'll play you hard. I think Jadeveon has it and JJ has it when he's healthy. I think Whitney has shown some of that. He's really developed more of it. To me, I don't want to make excuses for him at all. But they average 20 more points a game when Deshaun plays. I mean, what do you want me to tell you? Almost 100 more yards per game when Deshaun Watson plays, and 19.8 more points per game when he plays. That's a big deal. 3-3 with them, and it should have had wins against Seattle and New England. Should be 5-1. And they're
one. We've had
six
a real
problem
of just closing games.
Oh, this huge.
Even with Deshaun.
No, those two losses were, you know, those Bill were O'Brien games. Struggled. Bill O'Brien and the defense struggled. They didn't close. You're right. They didn't finish. You got to finish.
I don't know. I'm concerned because I feel like this team can go further, but I don't know. I don't want to say it's mental because everybody's literally had, you know, health issues on their teams. Every team has had injuries. Yeah. I mean, guys are dropping like flies. Mm-hmm. But there's got to be something done different in these last minutes of these games. I mean, you don't fight that hard in a third quarter, top of a fourth, to throw it all away in the last couple of minutes. Mm-mm. And that's been the problem. I don't know if that's conditioning or what. I'm not here to criticize guys that in that way. I just need them to close these games.
You
got to
close. You got to finish.
And again, that was an issue with Deshaun on the field. So why is it not going to be an issue? I mean, TJ, God bless him. He can't consistently keep coming back and trying to save these teams. I mean, he plays strong, but still, I got to feel like that's play calling at some point.
Yeah, at some point, how you handle your business, how you approach it. And Bill O'Brien has been very good up to that point. He's really struggled. Two opportunities to close out games. He hasn't done it. There's been questions about play calls on third downs, both in Seattle and in New England. And in baseball, you have actual closers. In football, you just have to do it. On either side of the ball, you are your own closer. We're at Bumpy in studio. Lance Zierlein here on the bench. 713-780-3776. You can also hit me up at Lance Zierlein, and I will relay to Bubun. You want people to hit you on Twitter or no? I can just do it from my account if you
they
want.
They can hit it from – because I haven't access to the Twitter account. I know it's there. I think it's leaked to the IG. I have no idea, to be honest.
All right, I'm going to give out your IG when we come back also. 729 here on The Bench.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
.733 here on The Bench. Lance Zierlein. John Granato is off. He is sick. Lance and Bun, along with Dell. And
I'm not in the best health.
What's going on with you? No. John's got a little head cold thing going
on. Yeah, I got a little throat irritation. I wouldn't say I'm sick.
Yeah.
She would say I'm sick.
Are you fighting through it?
Yeah, I'm just no big.
Were you questionable or were you probable this morning?
I was questionable.
Were you?
Yeah.
Last night, were you probable?
Or I was probable
it got
last
worse?
Night. Yeah.
It got worse.
Yeah,
I hate that.
Because the grandkid came over. She took like half the cover. So I was exposed to the elements somewhat.
Man, that's tough.
I couldn't get to my antibiotics. I was supposed to take antibiotics last night.
Yeah.
So
You couldn't get to them. What do you mean by you couldn't get to them? You mean you forgot to take them or you just didn't?
I don't want to incriminate other people who are responsible for medication in my home. So I'll just leave it at that.
I got
a long day.
I should also mention Bun's wife is in studio with us.
Yeah.
See, I can talk. I get real lippy whenever my wife, I know for a fact if she's working out or she's already dropped the kids off and she's not listening. My whole, like right now, this is a danger zone for me. Bun, this is the danger zone because the kids are headed to school. So I got to.
So she's tuned in.
Yeah. But about 8, watch Dell. Watch how it pops off at about 8:05. Fearless.
You just told her.
Fearless. She knows. She was a listener. That's how we got together. She used to listen. We would argue about Major Applewhite versus Chris Sims. I won that one. But we would argue about football before I even met her, just back and forth on email. Well, she's got opinions. You don't have to worry about that. Carson Wentz. Looks like Carson Wentz
that hurt.
Tore his ACL. What a game.
I spent the whole game telling her, I was like, this is your MVP.
Yeah.
I'm like, look at this throw. The one out to Alshon, when Alshon was kind of like falling on the ground.
Yep.
Like, that's your MVP.
Can you, and this is what I see, this is what I like about football. And I'm not sure this works for basketball. I do think it can work maybe for baseball, but baseball is such a long season that everything is so focused in the playoffs. You kind of need those big name storylines. Boston, New York, I guess Houston now is one of those teams. Dodgers. This is a great playoffs for that. Name brand playoffs for baseball. Basketball, you don't have to have the big name. It lives on big name players.
Players, yeah.
But with football, that's the one sport where it's okay for Green Bay to be really good. I mean, we don't care about the Milwaukee Bucks. We don't care about the Brewers. But if Green Bay's really good in football, that's because it's a name brand team, for one. In football, football survives, and some would say even thrives, with the fact that the Rams can go from terrible to really good. The Philadelphia Eagles can go from really nothing to being a big factor this year. And that game yesterday, if you would have told me, oh, Eagles-Rams week, whatever, 14, that's going to be the big game, I would have said, what? But that's where we were, and I thought it was a damn good game yesterday.
And I feel like people don't realize that football is probably, out of the major sports, to me, is the sport where one guy can make a huge difference. You know, you can get a guy to come in and score a lot of points.
He's a quarterback, you're damn right.
Yeah, you know, you can get one of those guys in those positions that can really come in and turn a game around. You know, a team gets that running back, it can turn that team around. It gets a good receiver that can catch those balls that the quarterback can throw, but nobody's out there to get them. He can turn that team around. And, of course, a quarterback will take a team the entire way, you know.
Do you feel like one guy can make a difference if it's not the quarterback? Like, can one guy make that big a difference if he's not a quarterback? I guess if he's a
Todd Gurley.
Yeah. Well, but Jared Goff has also played pretty well this year, too. But, yeah, and we have seen – I mean, J.J. made a pretty big difference on – but Arian was really good, and you had Andre those years.
Fournette made a big difference.
Yeah, because that's a terrible – it's a great defense, not good quarterbacking. Fournette has made a big difference because he minimized what you needed from the quarterback.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, strategically, that can be the case.
Which could be our case if we could, because our running game is crazy right now.
Yeah. 90 yards rushing right now. They got to step it up. They got to get some offensive line help. Let's get Robert in here, who wants to talk about Texans. And I got a little something on the back end of your. I got a little scoop for you. What's going on, Robert?
Hey, how's it going? How's it going, John?
Good.
I'm here at work right now. I'm hearing you on the radio, but I have one thing, man. Can Bumby please stop performing at these Rockets games Texans games in the playoff time? Because I signed a petition, and every time he does it,
let me ask you,
we end up losing the game.
That's
man.
A lie. That's
every time we do it, we lose the game.
So
man.
That's a lie.
Hey, when did you perform at the World Series?
I performed in front of those. I performed at the World Series. I performed at the Rockets.
At Game 3 in the World Series?
Yeah.
Wasn't it that one? Yep. Mm-hmm. And the Rockets last time. You went through one time. I saw where you went through the games that you performed, and I was like, this doesn't. I don't think people have the right.
Everybody's already done the math. If the teams felt like that I was a jinx or that they would lose when I came out, they wouldn't have me.
Uh-uh.
But I wonder where these people are that want to call in and talk all this online. I did 18 pop-ups. Nobody came through and said nothing about a jinx.
Nothing on 18 pop-ups?
No. I'm in the city all the time.
You can find you?
I wish I knew where you worked at.
I knew this pisses you off because we talked about this before.
Because I don't have a problem with people having an opinion. I have a problem with people not being mad enough to come and give it to me in my face.
And it's not factual.
Well, I don't care about it being factual. My problem is because a lie don't bother me. The problem is you not being mad enough to come and tell me in my face.
Because you're available all over Houston.
I'm the most accessible person in Houston. Easily.
It's not even close. Pop-ups galore. Restaurants galore.
Concerts. I'm one of the few people that doesn't wait till he leaves a place to post it on social media. I'm that stupid about it. But, yeah, it's a Monday. What are you going to do?
You're not going to do anything. I thought he was going to ask you, but it said coaching change, so he had to come sideways.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
That's
took
all good.
The sideways approach. Dell, you couldn't even sniff out a little sideways.
He got me, and now they'll be trolling all day.
What?
Dell, so
I'm not the call screener. The intern is.
All right. Well, let's bring him in here.
So you want Chris the intern in there?
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay.
No, we don't need to get the intern in here.
That's funny.
Do you think Bill – oh, I want to mention this. So Frank Reich right now is the offense coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. Let me give you guys a little scoop right here on the show that you're not going to hear anywhere else, not even on the Texans flagship station.
Oh, wow.
This is coming from an executive in the league who reached out and said, what are you hearing on Bill O'Brien? I said, I'm not hearing anything on Bill O'Brien. My personal thought is Bill O'Brien will not be with the Texans next year because I think the owner and Rick, he doesn't really get along with the GM. I don't know that the owner loves him either. They're going to have a season, clearly, where they at best they win six games, and that feels like a long shot. So I think they'll part ways with him. If that's the case, and I think the reason the guy asked me, what are you hearing about Bill O'Brien, is because it was a setup to the fact that he said he's already hearing the Texans have interest in Frank Reich. And the Frank Reich, now, I don't know if that means as a head coach
or
an offense coordinator. Yeah, because clearly, whatever you do, if you don't keep Bill O'Brien, you better find somebody who works well with Deshaun Watson. That right. is your future. And with all due respect to JJ, who hasn't played really for a couple of years, the future is not even on the defensive side. It's that quarterback that you traded up and gave up a first-round pick for. Frank Reich is the OC and a guy who's working with Carson Wentz, who you said was the potential MVP.
Yeah.
So that would make some sense if he came over as a play caller, maybe even as a head coach. We know for a fact, I mean, Vrabel is still around, but Dell, you think Vrabel would get the head coaching job coming off this season? He's got injuries. We know that, but
Young guys respond to Vrabel.
I agree. I think Vrabel should be given those guys consideration.
That locker room responds to him. Mm-hmm. That defense, definitely. Obviously.
Whitney became a different player because of Mike Vrabel. Dell?
You think he can coordinate a defense at the level that what we've seen in the past? Because earlier in the year, there were coverage busts, and this is when they're healthy. Guys running free. We can go back to the Patriots game.
And Seattle.
So why? I've always asked the question, why are they so quick to say, hey, Romeo, we want you around, but we don't want you to coordinate the defense anymore because we must keep Mike Vrabel around? I never got that. Why would you?
Well, here's the thing. I think Vrabel was told he had a chance to go to the San Francisco 49ers, and I think Vrabel was told, this is your defense. This is a defense in waiting. So I really truly believe that he got that job. He hung on to the OC. He stayed in Houston because he was promised a defense coordinator.
But was Romeo Crennel looking to leave? Because how much longer could they have had Romeo coordinating this defense if they really wanted to? Was Vrabel so important that he couldn't have? Couldn't have done it.
Yeah, I think they viewed I think Mike Vrabel took a job. I think he came back to the Texans because he was promised the defense coordinator job. You got to give it to him.
But why would you promise him unless Romeo Crennel told you 2 years from now I'm done?
Well, I don't think it's up to Romeo. If the Texans you're done.
I was just going to say, I don't think Romeo has a decision.
Well, that was my discussion. Is Vrabel so great at being a defensive or potential defensive coordinator? You tell Romeo, hey, your time is up, and you gave him a finite timeline for Romeo.
Well, but you gave him the assistant. He's still getting paid. He's an assistant head coach, and I don't think this is bad for Romeo.
No, I get that, but if Romeo, I think the Texas defense before the injuries, even this year, was better coordinated than it was this year when Romeo was doing it last year.
Maybe
this front office on certain levels, not on all levels, but on certain levels, can be extremely loyal.
Mm-hmm.
They will keep people around just because they like them.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's beginning to show.
Yep. Yeah. We know. Oh, no. We know that. We know they can be extremely loyal. But
which works, I think, on certain levels, right? But
see, I don't think they're going to be loyal to Bill O'Brien. I don't think they mesh. This is a red-ass New England guy. And Bob McNair is the exact opposite of that. Frank Reich is like head of the Fellowship for Christian Athletes type. Like, he's the quiet kind of Dom Capers, Gary Kubiak style that I think. That's why when I heard the name, I was like, Frank Reich, I got to check and see what he's even doing right now.
And then it all comes back to if they actually believe in this quarterback whisperer thing with Deshaun, right?
Or
is Deshaun just a great talent?
We know O'Brien's done well with
him. Coachable, you know?
O'Brien got a lot out of him, but there's not just one coaching. And maybe Deshaun kind of made it happen too, and Bill O'Brien, you know, I don't know how much Bill O'Brien's had to do with Deshaun. Maybe this is who Deshaun is. Last I checked, Dabo Sweeney told me this kid's Michael Jordan, and he gave Dabo Sweeney a national championship at Clemson. So he just came right in the league, just like the league's Alabama, just tearing right through the NFL like the league was just Alabama, like it was no big deal.
So is
that's
Deshaun,
pretty rare.
So is Deshaun the saving grace for O'Brien next season?
See, I don't think so. I think they look at Deshaun as, this is our guy. We don't need you. We'll go get Carson Wentz's guy to work with him, and we're going to be fine.
Yeah, but is that guy going to want to – he's got to look at who does he believe is going to be better in the next 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be Carson or is it going to be Deshaun? I wouldn't walk away from the Carson Wentz ship right now.
Well, you're right. That would only have to be as a head coach, not an OC. If you're just going to be an OC, first of all, it's a lateral move. And secondly, yeah, Philadelphia's in they're in pretty good shape. Last I checked, they just picked up their, what, 11th win, Dell? 11-3?
11-2?
Nah, it's 3, right?
14 they went, games? They were 10-2 going in, right?
Oh, yeah. 11-2. Yeah, you're right. If you get a head coaching job worth millions, though.
Well, yeah, I guess.
And you got Deshaun waiting for you?
Like I said, you got to figure out where you think you can go up the ladder in the next 3 to 4 years.
All right, we're going to break right here. 7:46 here on the bench. Lance Zierlein along with Bun B. Bullying. Big video went viral yesterday. We're going to come back and talk about that when we come back here on 97.5 The Bench.
Loot and Raid Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Man, Bill O'Brien a good coach, man. Don't bring him in there.
I'm not saying Bill O'Brien.
Okay, well, he's a good coach. And you got to look around the locker room. We ain't got everybody. Not trying to hold that just because of that, but it is what it is. We got to go to war with what we got. And it ain't like we ain't been in every game this year with what we got. And he put us in a lot of situations to win games. We just ain't making enough plays out there on the field.
You know it's never one guy. You know it's never one guy, but DeAndre over there is taking the blame. He said it's on him because of that fumble.
Yeah, he the head guy on that side, man. But he the reason why we was in the game, catching everything. And, you know, he made one turnover. I don't think that's his first turnover all season.
Jadeveon Clowney. What, Dell? Why are you shaking your head, Dell?
Why are you pretending like you know what he said?
He said, I'm tired of this mess.
No, that's
we're
not the clip I played.
Nine. Yeah, you did.
No,
you
I played a different clip.
He said, we're tired of being 4-9.
No, he was talking about defending Bill
defending
O'Brien.
Defending Bill O'Brien. Exactly. Yeah, when yeah. He said, that's my coach.
Nah, you're terrible. You're terrible. Why are you lying to the people? What were you doing?
Turning the AC down?
That's what I thought.
It was hot in here. Somebody just put it on the automatic fan. It was like blowing heat.
What were you doing? Why weren't we more aware of what was happening?
Yeah, do your job.
What
Dell?
Am I supposed to do?
You're going to blame this on
you
the
had
attorney.
One job.
You want
job.
Me to knock on the glass again and tell you to
yes.
get... Okay, I did it once.
You had one job. We need speakers in here that you can, like, access and you can yell at us and stuff.
I'll take that. I'll yell at you anytime.
Hey, let me tell you what. This room can go from 90 to 50 in about 30 seconds. So,
it just did.
Yeah, yeah.
It literally
I mean,
just
real,
did.
Isn't it? Yeah, I Dell, we're going to have to... you may need to come in here and turn this off.
I can live here.
Yeah. Oh, you like it this cold?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why
see,
I'm sick.
I love the fact that I come. How cold do you keep your house?
On the average, about 65 degrees.
Oh, my God.
It's like I grew up wanting to live in...
You grew up in Port Arthur?
Well, yeah, but right? I'm saying, man, in my mind, right? I grew up wanting to live
your
in,
weather's the same as here, Port Arthur. Was,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's the same.
But I'm saying just as far as the inside of my house. I grew up watching Ferris Bueller, and I wanted my house to be like... When his buddy was like, you know, his house is very cold, mm-hmm. it's very dark, and you're not allowed to touch anything.
Is that how you want
and that's
house?
How I wanted my house.
Is
and
that
so
how it is?
Come, yes, absolutely.
You have grandkids. It's you keep it locked
well,
down?
Well, when they're not there,
yeah.
obviously.
What do you get stressed when they're around? Because you like to keep it cold, dark, and hands off?
No, I only get stressed because of stairs.
Mm-hmm.
We've always, since my grandkids have been here, because I haven't always had that luxury, but since we've had grandchildren, we've always had a house with stairs in it. And I just get super...
It scares me.
Yeah, it's a lot, man. It's a lot. And not just the stairs, it's like our grandson would love to crawl up the stairs and then like stand up and hold the rails and try to stick his head through the rails and stuff like that stuff. I get very, very... That's when grandkids are at my house. That's what I do. I just kind of just stand there at alert the entire time.
Yeah.
Like waiting to catch a kid falling off something.
See, I keep my I like to keep my house cool, maybe not cold, but cool. But see, I love the fact that I wake up this morning and it's 46.
Cold deters company.
Oh, that's a good point. Because they know they got to bring a jacket or a coat.
People know, it's like, I don't like coming to your house. It's always cold and dark and stuff.
And don't come. I didn't invite you. That's the other thing you can say.
And then I'll cut on stuff like Curb Your Enthusiasm, which with the average person that I'm around, that's not their move.
It's not Larry David's not.
Cut on some Westworld. You can clear a room quick.
Oh, really? That's not. Yeah. That doesn't cut across socioeconomic lines. Sorry. Racial lines. Westworld?
You will clear the room.
I did not know that. Now, Larry David and Curb, I could see that. That's a different kind of comedy altogether. Hey, Bum, what are you doing? Nothing. Come on over. We're watching season finale of Curb, and it's 65 degrees in my I'm good. What else are you doing? Nothing. We've got some, I don't know, food-wise, everyone in Houston will eat anything, though. You can't really play those same games with food.
And everybody wants to come to my house and eat now.
That's what I'm saying.
Trill Meals.
Trill Meals. So I want to, real quick, tell people about Trill Meals. You started, I watched what I think was the very first video. You did one of the stories on Instagram.
Yeah.
With you and your wife cooking. And now Time Magazine featured you. And now you're doing Trill Meals, which you have a whole. But is it just these videos? Or are we going to find out? Are you doing whole recipes where we know exactly how much to use?
I feel like now that we have this base to deal with, I feel like I got to feed the base now. You know? You have all these people that want to tune in and want to be a part of it. I'm trying to figure out different ways to take Trill Meals off of Instagram into the real world, but still have that same spontaneity and spark.
It's on YouTube.
But still, right? I would love to go to a place where we could cook a Trill Meal in front of people.
Well, I mean, you know guys, but
yeah, but still, like, the narration, Trill Meals works because it's done within that minute, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot of jump cutting, you know, it's that.
That's not cooking.
Yeah, and the language that we use on Trill Meals, probably what doesn't work everywhere.
Well, you know what? I will do one live. I will right now tell you that I will host one with you, act as a conduit for you to just.
You just want to keep eat, the thing. Lance. You're not
I'm
slick.
Not lying.
You're
yeah.
Not
okay. Well, eat. Since you know it, since your wife made corn, since you made cornbread with brown sugar in it, yeah, I'll tell you right now. I will show up. Look, I'll be on a mic and just keep things moving. Like, here's Chris Shepherd and Bumpy and Queenie, and they're gonna make this. Blah blah.
That's the thing. It's got to be my
narration. Not leaving until I eat, though.
I gotta make.
Oh no, you'll be mic'd up. I just want to be the hype man.
Okay.
Just let me be the Trill Meals hype man. That's all I want. Yep. I don't want to run the show. I want a hype man and
To be honest, we'll both be working for my granddaughter at that point.
Is that what it's going to be?
Yeah, she's doing the meal tonight.
She is?
Yeah, she's actually the young chef in the house.
Really?
Yeah, that's been her passion for a while. Like, she cooks full meals.
Is she thinking about going to some type of culinary school?
Nah, she's just, she watches YouTube videos and stuff. And
They almost don't have to do anything anymore. You get everything off of YouTube. My kids know how to do everything from you. My son learned how to fix cars from watching YouTube. I can't change. Well, I couldn't do anything with the car. My 22-year-old.
I learned how to change my brakes off of YouTube.
You did?
Yeah. Know what supplies to get, the C-clamp, everything. Off of YouTube.
And you did it?
Yeah.
I'm not messing with my own brakes.
That's a lot. You got that kind of free time? That's a lot.
Yeah, I ain't got no family. I'm good.
Yeah, man.
You got family?
Well, not here. Okay. Everybody's in California.
So, man, you live a fun life, Dell, just changing your own brakes.
I went to a concert.
Professional cynic.
That's what the kids do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smelling like weed and teen angst last night at Warehouse Live.
And brake fluid.
Yeah.
Dale smells like teen angst, but weed and brake fluid.
That's what it smelled like last night.
Yeah.
Teen angst. Who played last night?
Some band called Dance Gavin Dance. They was just a bunch of kids hopping around. Kids just
fist pumping.
Fist
that's
pumping
all
and hopping up and down. In my
that's
view.
Pretty much what concerts are now.
Yeah, at this point. Yeah.
A lot of them, yeah. Warehouse is a good spot to go. It's just a wide open space. It's no mess around. You know exactly what you got there. Of course, there's not even really levels to it, right? You got risers on one side.
Well, there's the bar area, which is kind of like
elevates.
Elevated.
Yeah, that elevates over there. I went and saw Postmodern Jukebox. I wanted to see what it looked like live and in person. That was crazy. Have you ever seen them?
No.
The stuff they've done on YouTube? I'll show you. It's they take modern songs and do like a 1940s or 50s twist on it. I bet you've seen one before.
I can guarantee you haven't seen it.
You have not seen it?
No.
It's not Larry David, but similar. 757.
I'm more of the Dan.
The Dan band. That guy's so clever. He's so clever. 757 here. All right. I see you're on the line right now. We will get to you, William. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. This time I mean it. We'll get to the bullying video. I know that's something you wanted to speak on, Bun, when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.